Hey, we are wrapping up a series, Just Show Up. And today we're talking about a really nice, fluffy, good to feel topic, expect suffering. Woo! It's a great topic, isn't it? We love talking about that. Hey, but here's what I want to challenge all of us about. This series has been challenging us to show up, right? Not just to show up for other people, but to show up for ourselves, right? Because how does God grow us? How does God move us forward in life as followers of Jesus Christ? It's persistence. We looked at that. It's the curveballs in life that make us say, you know what? Should I keep moving forward? Because we want that straight, easy line up. And God's like, no, 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 no. Life doesn't work that way. Life is messy. Life is painful. And we go through all these curves and loops and everything. And it's the persistence in all of that mess that moves us forward. And it's not just true of ourselves, but lately we've been talking about God wants us to show up for other people. And here's what happens. We get into areas of trouble or suffering in life, and we get so preoccupied with our pain, with our suffering, that we think that gives us permission to check out from doing anything else. So I don't have an obligation to show up for you. I don't have an obligation to encourage you because I'm wrapped up in what's going on in my own life. I got plenty on my plate. And so what I want to challenge all of us about today is, even when we're going through suffering, God expects us to show up for other people because he tells us, expect suffering, right? So that's encouraging, right? Woo! Church was awesome today. All right, so here we go. Here we go. I want to give you three reasons why God wants us to show up, keep showing up for other people, even when we suffer. Number one, we should not be surprised that we're suffering. We should not be surprised we're suffering. Hey, Jesus said in John 16, don't be surprised by the suffering that you find in this world. James, his brother, wrote the book of James in the Bible, and he says in the first chapter, hey, there's all sorts of stuff that's going to come into your life that's fiery trials and suffering. Don't be thrown by it, James said. You know who else said this? God says it in the Old Testament. So here we are in Isaiah. God says, don't be afraid. I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. We're his. We have to remember whose we are. We have to remember whose we are because when we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, we realize life is not about us. It's not about me. I'm on a mission for Jesus. I'm supposed to represent Jesus to this region. I'm supposed to represent Jesus to Philly. I'm supposed to be the light. It's not about me. So God's like, hey, Bethel, yo, Bethel. Let's remind ourselves. Things could be bleak. You could be in a dark place. But it isn't about you. Jesus already overcame the world, he says. So let's go. We can do this, right? So he says, don't be afraid. I've called you by name, you're mine. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. Guess what? You're going to go through deep water. No, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hey, that's going to work sometimes. Other times, God's like, uh-uh. This deep water's for you. You're going through it. Yeah, but I don't like it, God. Tough. Yeah, but I want you to take the deep water away. And God's like, nope. You know how I'm going to answer your prayer? I'm not taking the deep water away. I'm going to be with you instead. Woo, that's not the prayer I prayed for, Jesus. I want the water gone. God's like, no. Nope. I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. You're being dragged downstream, all sorts of suffering, all sorts of challenges, all sorts of difficulty. You're bobbing up and down in a river, and you're like, oh, you're trying to grasp your breath, and you're like, God, this isn't good. I'm getting swept downstream and all this suffering. God, get rid of the river of difficulty. And God's, no. I'm not getting rid of it. My promise to you is it won't drown you. Well, that's not the promise I was looking for, God. See, God's ways are not our ways. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. We're walking through fire, people. And if you haven't walked through fire yet, not in a literal sense, fiery trials, fiery suffering, it's coming. Yeah, but God, I want you to keep me from it. Listen, we live in a world that is far from perfect, that's broken, and God doesn't promise to fix it right now. He promises to be with me. He promises that the rivers of difficulty will not drown me, and he promises that the fire of oppression will not consume me. Those are his promises. And he asks me to hang on to those promises because he says, for I am the Lord, your God. The Lord, our God, is the one who is not bothered by deep waters or raging rivers because he parts rivers. The Lord, our God, is the one who walks through fire and is unhurt by it. See, the rivers, the deep waters, the fire doesn't threaten God. So he's like, listen, I'm not taking you out of the deep water. I'm not taking you out of the raging river of difficulty in your life. I'm not going to remove the fire from your life. I'm going to be with you in it. That's his promise. And we have to readjust our thinking because we keep begging God to get rid of the pain. And God's like, it isn't going to happen. I'm with you. That's enough. Woo! Feel encouraged yet? Because the Lord is my God, my suffering will not destroy me. That's God's promise. My suffering is designed by the Lord my God to refine and teach me to trust him. That's why he doesn't get rid of it. Can I just give you three quick reminders about suffering? First, God's in control. God's in control. Job chapter 1 has this beautiful picture of heaven. Have the angels come before God to present themselves? And with the angels, Satan himself, who was a fallen angel, they come to present themselves before the Lord. To present yourself in front of a king or a ruler is to acknowledge their authority in your life. You're submitting to their authority. So realize that even the accuser himself, Satan, is acknowledging his authority in his life as who? It's God himself. So no matter how crazy you think your life is, no matter how wild or out of control you think it is not Satan who's controlling what's going on in your life. God is ultimately in control. Reminder number two, or let me just read this. I can rest in the fact that God is in control, which means I can face things that are out of my control and not act out of control. Reminder number two, God will not allow my suffering to destroy me. I love this verse, these verses in 2 Corinthians. And again, we pray for very different things. We want the trouble gone. We want the suffering gone. We want the uncomfortableness gone. We want the nasty people gone, right? We want the situation that I so desperately want in my life that I've been praying and waiting for years. We want it to come, and we want our present thing gone, right? That's what we want. That's what we pray for. And it's okay. We're letting our Heavenly Father know what we want. But there are times where God, our Heavenly Father's going to say, no, Rob, no. My purposes are different. Do you ever feel like you're pressed on every side by trouble? It's coming at you from everywhere. God, get rid of my trouble. God says, nope, but I won't let him crush you. That's not what I asked for, God. Do you ever feel perplexed? You're just confused, like I'm doing everything I think I'm supposed to be doing for God, and nothing's going right. My life is just falling apart, and I don't know what's going on. God, get rid of that confusion. I don't want to be perplexed. And God's like, no, you're going to stay where you are, but I will not allow it to drive you to despair. Again, not what I'm asking for, God. We are hunted down. The imagery. They're coming for you. The enemy's coming for you. Everything is coming for you. And you can't catch a break. God, get rid of this. God's like, nope, not going to do it. But I never abandon you. Once again, I say, well, that's not what I asked for. You ever feel like you're down? You're literally knocked down? Can't get up. God, give me the strength to get up. God, let this stop so I can get up. God, nope. But I won't let it destroy you. Those are promises God makes to us that we have to hang on to. They're not pleasant promises. But the good doesn't always prevail. The good don't always win. Bad doesn't always get punished. Not in our world, at least. And there are times where we're going to be begging God to do something, and we have to remind ourselves that God's purposes are different than our purposes. So God will not allow my suffering to destroy me. And then number three, God's using my suffering to make me more like Jesus. Look at the way these verses end. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. There is this mystical spiritual exchange that happens in suffering, and the Bible alludes to it a few times. That it's the suffering that makes us like Jesus. When you and I suffer well with Jesus, He's transforming us from the inside and making us like Jesus. So God's purpose for suffering is not to punish. God's purpose for suffering is not to inflict pain. God's purpose for suffering is to refine us, to strengthen us, to make us more like Jesus. And that's why He will not always remove it from our lives. Listen, I wish I could become more like Jesus by sitting on my sofa, watching football, and eating Doritos. I wish I would be... I would be like this close to Jesus. But you and I know it's the hard stuff that humbles us, that strips pride away, and that makes us stay close to Jesus. You and I both know that. We know that. A second reason God expects us to keep showing up in spite of our difficulties. God helps me so I know how to show up for others. Do you ever feel like you hear about a tragedy or you hear about suffering and you say, well, I don't know how to respond. I don't know what to do. It's normal. Look what the Bible says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. So many of us look all sorts of different places for comfort. We're in it, we're in suffering, we're in a bad place, we're in an uncomfortable place, and we think stuff of this world is going to bring us comfort, and it doesn't. We know that. It just brings more heartache. Which is why I think it's fascinating that the Bible says God is the source of all comfort. Do you know what we need more of when we're struggling? You know what we need more of when we're in pain? You know what we need more of when we're in the deep stuff, the raging rivers, the deep waters, we're walking through the fire? What we need more of is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need more of, because that's the comfort. He comforts us. What's the next word? He comforts us what? In. He comforts us in our trouble. In your trouble. God, I don't want this trouble. Take it away. And God says, no, because I'm comforting you in your trouble, not on the other side of it. See, I want to get through the trouble. God's like, Rob, you're staying in it. You're being comforted in your trouble. Are you aware of it? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to open your spiritual eyes so that you begin to see that in spite of the difficulties in your life, God is comforting you in your trouble? Are you noticing that? It's God's faithfulness. It's God's goodness showing up in your life. Or are we so preoccupied we want this thing gone? God's like, no, Rob, you're in your trouble, and that's where I comfort you, in your trouble. Why does he comfort me in my trouble? So that I can comfort others. When they're troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Do you notice that? You're in a terrible situation, and you wish so desperately it was gone. And God says, no. But God comforts you in your struggle. You want to know why? Because he wants you to show up for someone else. We want to be comforted because we want to be comforted. It isn't about us, Bethel. God comforts me, so I know how to comfort others. Some of the ways that I'm comforted when I'm struggling is through prayer, kind words, generous acts. Do you ever have a bad day and people just say, you know what? Don't worry about it. They just overlook your fault, right? That's pretty cool when that happens. Well, when that happens to us in our troubles, you know what? Now we know what to do with other people. Now we know how to comfort other people. God comforts us, so we comfort other people. And maybe the reason some of us are going through the same struggle over and over and over and over and over again, maybe the reason some of us have this trouble in life that just doesn't go away is because God's going to leave us there until we realize, the way God's comforted me, I'm supposed to reach out now and comfort other people. Do you do that? When someone says to you, you know what, man, I've really been struggling with this, and you went through the same thing. Do you have the courage and the humility in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ to say, you know what, that's my struggle too. And let me tell you what God did for me and comforted me. Because if God did it for me, I know he'll do it for you. That's what we're supposed to do. That's showing up for someone else. That's being the light. That's being the salt. That's pointing someone else to Jesus. 3, God expects me to show up for others. He just does. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12, he gives us a list of stuff he wants us to do. And in the middle of this list, he says, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with each other, choose unity. To be happy literally means to be full of joy. The word that he uses for weep means to wail. To just cry, to just wail. Have you ever been with someone who just was wailing? Just weeping and wailing. And you hear that wail and that sorrow. Do you know, Bethel, God is saying we need to weep with those around us who are weeping. That's what showing up looks like. I'm not supposed to judge them. Well, they brought it upon themselves. If they weren't such idiots, they wouldn't have been in that situation. It just says, weep with those who weep. Celebrate with those who celebrate. My son and my daughter both live in New York City. My son came home this week to go to a friend's funeral. 42-year-old friend of his passed away. The funeral was Thursday. He was home Wednesday night, slept at our house, and he woke up Thursday morning to a phone call from his father-in-law that his wife, Krista's grandfather, she's very close with, was in the hospital and not doing well and not expected to survive very long. So Krista was on the West Coast, Jordan's in Philly. He's going to a friend's funeral that day who's 42 years old. So he's got all of that going on. While he's at the funeral, he's part of a group text with friends. And one of his friends is blowing up the text saying, "Yo, we had a baby, baby number 3. Here's pictures, woo! Everybody's, oh, awesome, congratulations." And he's sitting at a friend's funeral and he just got worried that his wife's grandfather that she's very close to is about to pass away. And he just said to me, "Dad, it was so hard to be there. Do you ever feel like you're getting pulled in different directions? You're around people who are weeping and God's saying, weep with them. And then you're around someone who's rejoicing and God says, rejoice with them. And you're like, I can't do that. We can't do it, but the Spirit of God can do it through us. And when we step out of our own trouble and we allow ourselves to be used by God in a profound way, in simple ways, to weep with those who weep, to celebrate with those who celebrate, we're being a salt, we're being a light. That's what we were put here for, Bethel, to show up for other people. It's not about us. It's not minimizing your pain. It's not minimizing your struggle. It's not minimizing all of the heartache in your life. It's acknowledging it. But you're drawing from what God's done in you. You're drawing from the comfort God's given you. And now you're going to give it to other people who are far from God, who don't know who God is, who don't know how good God is. And you're going to be a link in the chain that God's going to do to bring them to Jesus. That's why we show up. So to recap, expect trouble. Don't be surprised by it. And God's not always going to remove it. God comforts me in my trouble so I know how to show up for others. So show up. Show up. Allow the Spirit of God to nudge you. And show up. And watch what God does through you in blessing someone else, in spite of the fact that you're in pain and heartache. And watch how God can turn that into a blessing. Because when you show up like this for someone else and you walk away and you say to God, even though my stuff is still there, I see how you're using it for good because I get a chance to bless someone else. And that's what it's about. Hey, will you stand with me, please? Father, thank you for a reminder today that in spite of our pain, in spite of the stuff of life that's so challenging for us right now, your Holy Spirit gives us the ability to show up for others. Thank you, God, that when you don't take the suffering or pain away, you promise that you're right there with us, God. You'll never abandon us. You won't allow us to be destroyed by it, God. And you will teach us in our trouble so we know how to comfort others. Help us, Lord, to have eyes that see people the way you see them so that we can be used by you to encourage them. And that's our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name.